Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Final Reckoning for episode 18. I am Brian Cohn. Hear me, as always, is my co-host, Ally Usher. Ally, how are you?
How could you forget what episode number it is, Brian? It's only been a mere 18 episodes.
I know. I looked at my notes. I saw 18. I almost passed out for a second. And I'm like, oh, well, our episode counter can vote. So maybe they voted yesterday.
was not a voting age during by the time of the election.
That's true. Unless we're there on the West Coast, polls might have still been open then.
Also, I had nothing prepared for the beginning, so I'm glad that I made a mountain out of that. Not even a flub. You didn't even flub. So thank you very much.
That's my pleasure.
We do. What kills me is you mentioned that we're like so good at podcasting and this season has been like so great. And then we have the worst episode of, I think, our entire podcasting.
I know. I sent you a message like an hour ago saying like, I think this is the least amount we've ever had to talk about in a single podcast ever. So.
Oh, no, no. I'm referencing last week's episode. Do you recall like how many obvious things we both got wrong last week?
Oh, if you're into this podcast for hearing facts and like what you should be hearing, then I don't know what to tell you about how long we've been doing this for. That's not what we're here for.
So I agree with you normally, but this last week was so bad. Like, the things that we got wrong were like, normally I'll clap back and be like, man, like, who cares that I didn't know that like 16 years ago, like, bananas like tripped on a challenge and lost, whatever. Like, this was like, I said we haven't seen Leroy in years and he was on last season and made it to the final.
I still don't believe that. I don't think that was last season. There's just no way. That was so long ago.
And you asked when Tori lost to Sylvia, and that happened this season.
That I also still don't believe.
I podcasted with Rob this week, and he was like, how are things going on the challenge? Like, off before we got on. And I was like, well, we had one of the worst episodes we've ever had, so hopefully this is better.
I still thought last week was a good podcast. You know what? I think this is, again, this is not an informative show. This is entertainment. And I think if you can get, it's supposed to be. And I think if you can like get entertainment out of us being like amazingly wrong, then yeah, I think that's fun.
Oh my God. So Brian, like bananas, does not apologize for what happened.
Nope.
I feel like saying that I haven't seen Leroy in a number of seasons was bad. That was bad. The Tori thing, I'll forgive you on, fine. The Leroy thing was bad. And all of this is to say that you really need to start listening to me when I say things, because you need to be able to call this out when it's happening.
I still don't believe that Leroy made the final last year. There's just no way that's true.
Oh, so there's that. And I think what's even better about this is I'm forgetting things we got wrong to correct in this episode. I'm sure there was more than those two, but I didn't go back to look. It just stuck with me.
I look forward to the offering the correct things from our corrected segment from the previous podcast of the previous podcast.
One thing I think you have to correct, and this brings me to our chief party officer, Kyle Picard. Thank you again for always assembling and keeping track of the nonsense, because we sure as hell would not do it. Or we'd try and we'd get it wrong because we don't remember when things happen. You once again did not, or you did not change anything. You elected not to change anything. And once again, none of yours got any drinks. So I'm very curious to see if you're going to take a let it ride approach, which I would totally respect, or if you have something to remove this week in place of something new.
So I definitely have something to add. I just need a quick refresher on something that I can easily remove. I want something because I want to parlay what you did last week to get something to happen. So do I have something that we desperately want to happen next week? And that'll be what I remove.
All right, so let's go through it. So you have the elusive flashback to a current episode.
I can't believe that hasn't happened yet. That happens like all the time.
You have discolored booze, a tweet or Insta that has caused drama, mention of another show, burn vote, a sophomore calls someone a rookie. See, these are all good rules. It's just like we're late stage. It's hard to get too late.
So you know what? I'll cut the. I think this can easily go. Let's cut the discolored booze. I think that can go. Not that I want to see that next week, but that, I think that's run its course.
You still had half of your rules left. So sight unseen on the other half, you're getting rid of discolored booze.
Yeah, that could go.
Could you name more than one? So two of the rules of yours that I have not named yet.
I know one of them has to do with TJ's hat. Or is that yours?
That's yours. No. That's mine.
I got half credit. I know it was on there. Is that like date night TJ? That's one of my favorite rules.
It would be naming one. Okay, so like date night TJ? Date night TJ, so that's one.
Yeah, okay, there we go. I got one.
I said, can you name more than one? So two. Okay, I asked it in a very confusing way, but I said, can you name two? I gave you enough credit that you could maybe get one.
Let's see.
And that's the one I thought you'd get.
Wasn't there something else with him, like, or maybe did I remove TJ, that was like, your politely one, insulting people?
That was the one you removed. You betrayed yourself.
So close. That's all I got.
I don't know that I could name more than, like, three of my own. I'm looking at the list. The rest of your rules for people playing along at home, producers change rules on the fly. Ooh. Unwanted slow-mo. I think your reaction, ooh, like, should have got that. You made all of these. You're going to ooh all of them. Unwanted slow motion. Security. It's just
that's
a security
drink.
That's
coming back for the final, by the way. Be prepared.
Oh, for sure.
So get ready.
Date night TJ, what you got. Move effects outside relationship. Hashtag and off-camera production question.
There you go. Some of those are good. You know what? They'll come back. They're just cyclical. A lot of those will be right back around for the next season.
All right. So mine were a lot of sleepers. I didn't get a lot of drinks necessarily early on, but I got a lot of drinks last night. So plastic surgery is an insult. Still on the table to be removed, potentially. Third person with a self-given nickname. I got close because Kaylee said Killer Cam, but that's not what we're looking for. With Cam gone, I might have to get rid of that because I don't feel like Johnny really talks about bananas in the third person.
Tony Time.
Oh, Tony Time will get, you're right. Because I was going to say bananas on Twitter uses it a lot, but that doesn't count. Absurd use for the money. We got one tonight or last night. I think that's going to stay as we get close to the final. Rescue Squad. That's got final potential, although we would have seen a preview for it 600 times. So Kara self-promotes, definitely going to see that in the next week or so. Quote, run a final. I think we're getting to the point where you're thinking about who wants to run a final. We're going to get that maybe. Cut to confessional for an explanation. Next time I'm going to send you yours, although it was fun to have you guess. I think you should be able to talk through these also.
I should.
Granted, you do get it tweeted to you also, but I'll send it to you. Cut to confessional for an explanation. Non-challenge Under Armour. That might be my best rule in terms of quantity of drinks. We got four last night. TJ not wearing a hat. That's one. Sabotage. We got one for Marie calling out. Oh, we got an official statement from the chief party officer, Kyle Picard, who said some variety tonight. Thanks to Marie for shouting out random numbers during the elimination. Hashtag CPO. So that's kind of close to a self-given nickname, although I gave the nickname. And then a food fight and someone gets mad at TJ. And then we have Jonathan's rule of mentioning their social media. Dane's rule about TJ's voice dubbed in. That definitely happened last night.
Yeah, it did.
For a good long while. You waterfall the whole time TJ's voice is dubbed in, that would be a problem. So maybe don't do that. All right. So I knocked off confirmed coitus. I immediately got a text from Rourke saying, "You fool, how could you do that with Carr and Polly heating up?" So maybe that was accidentally my own rule. So
this time you'll be off by 2 weeks.
But I don't want that to happen. I don't want to see that. I've seen enough of that on Twitter from them. All right, so I'm going to get rid of, it could be anything. Let me get rid of plastic surgery as an insult. I feel like now we've lost Shane, so we're definitely not going to get him. Yep. He's a big proponent of doing that. So let's get rid of that.
Sounds good.
So
you have a replacement in mind?
Yeah, did you? You didn't give your rule, right? I'm not that bad.
No, I
did not.
But okay. I have mine ready to go.
So I have three potential rules. And you thought we didn't have anything to talk about this podcast. The whole podcast is going to be the drinking game. It's going to be 5 minutes of the challenge, and then we're done. I have three rules. Two of them I think would be good just generally, like if we started the season. So, Kyle, if we could get this in like a reminder to me for next season, I'd like to use these potentially. But I have one that I'm going to add with an eye on the fact that we're two or three episodes away from the final. Right. So the rejected rules are American flag print. We saw that today in Kyle's bandana. I think that's high potential for the future. People on the challenge like to rock the American flag. I'm trying to do less like cerebral. Like you see something, you drink. Like less intricacies of the challenge or requiring somebody to say something. Right. But I'm not adding that. And then anytime someone complains about the format, like Sylvia again this week complaining about, oh, I hope two teams don't come back in. Oh my God, two teams are coming back. I think that would be a fun one at the start of a season. Anytime someone complains like we would about the format.
I could support that.
I'm going to add anytime someone mentions, and this is going to be high drinks. So, you know, low risk, high reward. Anytime someone says $1 million, take a drink.
Do you want to adjust that to just the prize money, or are you sticking with $1 million for the season and then adjust from there?
I'm sticking with $1 million. $1 million. I thought about even just making it like they have to say $1 million so that it's not drinking anytime someone says a million. But anytime someone references $1 million in any way that directly references it, you'd take a drink.
Okay, that'll definitely come into play these last few episodes, so that's good. I don't know how much, I guess it might come into play a little bit, but I thought of, specifically from Kyle, when people start planning ahead to next season's targets, that's where you should take a drink.
That's a very good one.
So, when people are building out future rivals and vendettas and saying, this is who I'm going after. You can even take a drink for the amount of people they list. I think Kyle listed the entire cast, so there you go. Keep drinking for a while, but otherwise, there you go.
That's a nice courtesy to only have that towards the end, because that would have been, a rough road.
It's basically after every elimination, because everyone or has their exit interview where they're planning about who they're going against next season, so.
I like that rule. That's good.
Alrighty.
You have my approval. Not that you need it.
I was hoping for it, so.
One thing about this episode that's different than all other episodes, and maybe, we should talk about it. You texted me. You rarely text me about an episode before we're supposed to podcast.
Right.
Or ever.
Or just in general. But
this especially surprised me. I actually thought you were canceling the podcast. I thought that was more likely than you talking to me about the episode.
Right.
Do you want to elaborate? You want to let our listeners in on that, or just?
I thought you were teeing it up. I thought you were just saying it. I just sent a message saying I thought this had the least amount to talk about in any episode ever.
Does that translate to you not liking the episode, or just from
a
podcasting
perspective?
No, it was a
fine episode. I just think from our podcast perspective, we don't normally go in depth on challenges, and there were two eliminations plus a challenge that took up, I would say, at least 2/3 of the entire on-screen episode. So there wasn't, even the stuff that was off-screen was like pulling the double cross, which meant absolutely nothing. So there wasn't really much to go on there. So that's all. But I enjoyed it, just not a lot to like break down.
I was actually interested in seeing how the cliffhanger from last week played out, which is new for me because usually I don't care at all. So basically, we see that Kaylee ends up not caring at all about what Banana said. Were you surprised that that didn't erupt into a little bit more drama?
Yeah, I think maybe they didn't catch them deep into their alcoholic bender that night. Maybe she was a little too sober to start playing mind games with herself, that she was able to listen to a sound reasoning from Nelson. So a little bit of a bummer. But I feel like if there was a lot more to it, we might have seen it last week. I feel like usually you're good at cutting things off right when you think things are going to get good and then they don't get good. So shouldn't really be a surprise.
What was the sound reasoning from Nelson?
Just explaining that nothing happened. That's all it took.
Because I thought, like, you hit the nail on the head last week when we talked about how Nelson's shit at justifying this. Like, he's wearing sunglasses inside, which is the universal sign for lying on a reality show or in life. He's like, doesn't say anything. And then at the end, it's like, who are you going to believe, me or Bananas? I'm just sort of like, well, what did you even suggest to believe?
Well, I would say that's pretty sound reasoning. I think, who are you going to believe, like me, who you're dating, or Bananas, who's clearly against me?
So we're dating. They're dating. Are we buying that they're dating?
One of them referred to the other one either the boyfriend or the girlfriend. And that was very like odd timing, but I guess they are dating.
Yeah, Kaylee called him her boyfriend, and like, yeah. I don't know. I'm just like, I feel like very Bananas Natalie vibes with them.
I think it's a little more real, but not as real. Although apparently isn't like Nelson like 3 steps down the line dating into someone else now, so it's definitely not like fully real.
But even pretending we don't know that, right? Like, because they could have been really dating and broken up. It does feel like a bit opportunistic where like, I don't know. I feel like last season we were made to believe that Kaylee really didn't want anything to do with Nelson. And then she hated Nelson at the reunion. And then now they're like sort of back on. And now all of a sudden he's her boyfriend.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're just doing it for the storyline, because at least for Bananas and Natalie, like there was clear game benefits for each of them. And I guess you could sort of see that with Nelson and Kaylee, but it doesn't seem as blatant. So if they're really just mainly focused on just getting camera time, I don't know. I believe it a little bit more.
It is funny, though, because like anytime any woman shows interest in Bananas, everybody automatically is like, oh, she's just using him for the game. Like, I don't like Bananas, but is it that unbelievable that anybody would ever want to date Bananas? Because I feel like we don't get that criticism with any other challenge relationships.
So if someone says they love Bananas, you don't question them as a person like you do if they love Nelson?
That was so mean. I still can't get over it. I said that. It's like not what I meant, but you know what I mean. Yeah. Imagine being in love. That was so bad. I don't want to say it again. Anyway, I think this was a good plan by Bananas, but what hurt him is that Nelson came back so soon. Like, I think had, like you were saying, Kaylee wasn't drunk enough. If Kaylee had had like a couple more days to really let this fester, I don't know that it would have been resolved so easily.
Yeah, he needed a full cycle of like another elimination. Like he needed someone else to come in, like from his side. Like if Kara and Marie were sent in, and then they could like back his story, and then she festers on it for another couple days, that's where it would really percolate.
Oh my god! Imagine that. That would be beautiful.
Yeah.
But all right, I have a question. I didn't pull the questions this week, so question from Allie Lasher. Shane calls their elimination when Nelson and Shade enter one of the worst losses in challenge history. Now, I normally hate when people ask, like, is this the worst blank in challenge history? But since I'm asking the question, I'm fine with it. Is this even close to the worst loss in challenge history?
So, I mean, I guess he was saying like it just got blown out worse than anyone else, because if like it clearly was not like an upset by any means, and it wasn't even like right on the edge of a final. Like, so I don't know what that had anything to do with this. One must have been like, did they get blown out the most? And I mean, clearly no. Like, this was like a pretty standard middle of the road loss.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is if he's like, if you could equate, if you could say, because it was a purge challenge, like this happens all the time when someone gets DQ'd and has to go to elimination, and then if they lose that, it's not as bad as just like DQing out. But this to me was very standard. I didn't even remember how they lost. So if it's gonna be the worst loss, at least you'd hope I remember week to week. And then I was like, oh right, it was the purge. That's not that bad.
Yeah, and then I mean, they were even talking about how like it seemed they were talking about how much worse than it seemed. Like it didn't seem like it was that much of. I know they lost 3-0, but it didn't seem like that much of a blowout. And then the way their people were talking in confessionals, they're like, this is like the quickest elimination ever. I can't believe how much they're dominating.
No, this is when he said it about this before they did that. He said this when, like, based on the log roll where Nelson was like running across, because this happened before they went in against. So it was like the fake elimination, the elimination to go to redemption.
Oh, got it. I thought he was talking about the okay. But even still, that also wasn't that bad of a loss either. So no losses were that bad.
It wasn't even his worst loss this season, apparently, yeah. According to you. I didn't even think I was talking about this.
No, it didn't.
So, yeah. The one thing, though, that Shane did say here that I agree with, and I will use this in my daily life as well to describe myself, I'm a weed, and I thrive on things that kill normal people.
Yeah, that's good. I was waiting for him to go, like, chaos is a ladder.
Well, let's get some merch. We'll print that on it, and I'll just for me, I'll buy it. Perfect. Can we? I guess we'll we can't get your, merch.
Yeah. Well, who is the girls that you bought the shirt from? What's her name?
Cheyenne.
Yeah. What did that shirt say?
It said "Boy, bye," and I worn it when I'm in law school.
There you go.
You gotta send the right messages. You know. I think yeah. I actually donated it because it like it. Well, no disrespect to her, but I dried it incorrectly and it did shrink up.
Oh no!
That's on me. It could fit Ryder K.
Perfect.
But yeah, the Rue, that was when we were so young then.
I know. Yeah, way back when. That was what was that? Oh my god, now we're trying. What was that other website that from Mario the One?
Gweese. Did you just hit your head trying to figure that out?
I did. I was bagging my leg. That's what I do, is try to like trigger myself.
Well, I want to ask a personal question, Brian. Are you wearing shorts?
I am wearing shorts.
It's winter.
I am home. If you don't come home from work and immediately put on shorts and a t-shirt, then you're doing life wrong.
Well, I don't work, so I don't know.
Well, this is talking to everyone else. Non-law school or school or any other type of non-working environment.
People don't work yet. okay. So now that we have that in our brains, I want to take it to a serious place right now, but I can't because I'm a goon. Bananas and Tony get in Nelson's face. When's the last time you won a competition? You're the young bitches. You suck. You know you suck. All right, Bananas stands, who said what Devin did was so unspeakable and so, like, you know, worth than Bananas shitting on Devin's father. Here we are, Bananas the hypocrite. And I'm not saying that this was wrong. I'm saying this was part of the game. But, like, just because Nelson is trapped in the house with them and they're calling him a bitch and, you know, you suck. And, like, I don't feel bad for Bananas. Bananas sucks. I didn't articulate that, but...
I think this is a stretch of a comparison, no? I mean, wasn't the big thing with Devin and Bananas was that he followed him around all night and, like, kept badgering him for like many, many hours. This was like a quick, like, he gets home, he's talking crap. I feel like that's quite different.
So he kept following him. I don't know that it happened for hours, but like Bananas kept trying to leave. I'm just saying, here's Nelson, here's how you handle that situation. It was the same type of like mind shit, like, you're a little bitch, you can't win a competition, okay, I live inside your head, you don't exist without me, whatever. And if Bananas had just laughed it off like Nelson's doing, it doesn't need to escalate to the point where you reveal yourself to be a terrible person. I'm not saying it's the same. I'm just saying, like, let's not feel so terrible for Bananas. They all do this to each other. Like, this is what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that's the clear difference. So, and that's what, I mean, I think his Bananas did try laughing off first and then it kept going and going and going. And that's what led to it. But we don't need to go down that rabbit hole again.
No, we can. We have nothing else to talk about. Okay. I mean, I think the following is I just, like, I don't agree that Bananas, maybe I'll go back to it. I don't agree that Bananas actually did try to laugh it off. Bananas definitely was, like, really upset going back and forth, going back and forth with Devin. He wasn't laughing. He was, like, screaming at him because of what happened with the body slam with Corey and Tony.
Right. But, I mean, like, if the second Bananas said something to Nelson and then Nelson came back with something way over the top, I would, like, I think that's different than, again, like, if it was constant for a while. I think that the constant and for a while and following is, like, the key differentiator.
Yeah, it's a different situation, but, like, I don't know, to me, I was watching this episode, and maybe everybody's gonna come for me and be like, it's totally different in the psychology of it and whatever else. I'm just saying, like, Bananas sucks too. Like, Bananas would 100% do the same shit that Devin did. This to me is like the inbounds of the game. You can't win a competition, you suck at the challenge, you, like, blah blah blah, like that to me, that's all I'm trying to say, is like, this is, look at Bananas participating in the same sort of, like, mental bullshit that Devin was participating in. If you want to take issue with that, he was following him around, that's fine.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, I don't think anyone felt bad for Bananas, what Devin was saying. I think everything that Devin said was fine. It was just, again, the constant, the following, the timing of it and all of that surrounding it.
Which I would like to see Well, and then, so it just goes back to, like, look at how Nelson played this. Like, if Nelson escalated this, it would have escalated too. And Nelson laughed at them. We didn't see it, but I assume it ended. Anyway, right. I just really, like, can't stand Bananas after that. And I always will. Hate him. I'll give him credit, though, at the challenge, so all you Bananas lovers can just, like, chill out. And then I want to say one more thing about this Bananas thing, and then I'll shut up and you could talk about the rest of the episode. I do think I want to challenge Banana stands to acknowledge Banana's flaws, just as I, not perfectly, acknowledge when he's great TV, great episode, great competitor, whatever. And I'll try to do better at that, too. But I do think that a lot of the defense of that situation and people not calling out Bananas when he does stuff like this, whether or not they're equal, comes from people who are just blind disciples of Bananas, which you're not. You can like Bananas and still not be a blind disciple. And that's what irritated me the most about it. I think that's what makes me want to make comparisons when Bananas is being dastardly.
Ooh, that's a acting fun
dastardly.
Word.
Acting dastardly. Does that make sense? No. Let's just cut all this out.
It does. We'll keep it all. It makes sense.
We can't cut anything out. We don't know how to do that.
No, we can't. We have no technology at all.
All right. Whatever. Let's talk about something else.
So we find out that all four teams are competing and the double cross is just for picking order. So we have that.
What do you think, TJ effed up here to get, 30 seconds of voiceover explaining that the picking doesn't matter?
I'm always very confused why, the voiceover choice, because a lot of things that TJ says are, very simple and, easy to understand, and, he still needs to, and this means all teams are competing. It's like, yeah, no shit, TJ. Why can't you just say that?
I have to imagine that some of it might just be, the sound didn't pick up right or something.
That's what I hope for.
Our sound sucks. We can't do anything about it. If we were, re-recording and putting voiceover in, I imagine that would be better.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess when the coming attraction showed that two teams are coming back, this was obvious, but for some reason I didn't really put it together that they would either do a double cross, or I didn't think about how they would do the order. But I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense to do it this way.
I was so confused because I forgot that there were only four teams, so when Cam and Kaylee picked and Brad and Kyle end up picking the double cross, I'm still waiting for the second double cross, and then they leave, and I rewound and watch it twice to see if I missed somebody picking, because I'm an idiot.
I'll be honest, I thought for some reason they were gonna another team was gonna pick it also, and then they had to choose between two people. I was like, oh wait, that makes even less sense. At least this kind of gives them even more of an option.
There was no real choice here, right? Brad and Kyle were always gonna pick Cam and Kaylee.
I mean, I think if you're trying to outsmart the game, I think you could come to a realization that you probably should pick Shane and Nelson, because knowing there's going to be two eliminations, I feel like there was a decent chance of there being two different eliminations. And then do you want to have the one that's, I mean, they're not going to put you against Cam and Kaylee in a totally physical elimination. They're just not going to do that. So do you want to risk it with something that's like gender neutral, or go hopefully that you get a full physical one and go against Shayna Nelson where you have an advantage.
So you actually saw that they were going to do two different challenges, or you thought about that?
Yeah.
I didn't. Like, maybe I'm crazy. Like, I thought it was going to be like, you know, something where they could do it like the stack challenge from last week where they're in the tank of water or whatever that was. I think it's bullshit that it's two challenges. Like, honestly, like, it to me seemed like, yes, you'd have to have considered it. I'm sure they did consider it. They just like they considered who to be on the wall and who to do the math. They just flubbed it up. I'm sure they thought about it, but I don't know. I just kind of thought the way it plays out seems so beyond unfair that I would have preferred they do either two challenges that could both be done regardless of gender, like the tank thing, and then they like flip a coin. Like, I really just hated how it seemed stacked against Kyle and Brad.
Yeah, no, but even so, I think if you pick Shane and Nelson, like, best case it works out this way where you get two different challenges and you're put against the one that's more physical because it's two guys versus two guys. But even if it's one challenge that is pretty gender neutral, if it's gender neutral, I feel like I'd still rather go against Shayna Nelson because, like, stripping out, like, physicality, Cam and Kaylee would be much more dangerous they go up against to me than Shayna Nelson. I think with Cam's, like, smarts and, like, I feel like there's more of a risk of losing to them than going up against Shayna Nelson.
I don't know. There are challenges that we've seen play out this season that were supposedly gender neutral or they had equalizers and like were it like the mercenary challenge where they have the disc hanging on the rope, like that was supposedly gender neutral. Amanda did not have a chance to shake that off.
Right.
Or the sledgehammer in the wall challenge. Like, I think you are right. I think you take the risk. I was even going to say there's reason to argue that you should just go against Bananas and Tony, because if you come in second, what does it matter? Like, you should try to get them out.
That's true also. Yeah.
That would never happen, right? So there's an argument to be made for all three. I think you're right. The best bet would be to do Shane and Nelson. But now I'm remembering the correction from the correction is that there were no equalizers in the maze situation. Yeah.
That's a very small correction, though.
Which is why I only remembered it when I was thinking about the maze challenge, because that also was gender neutral, supposedly. I mean, not supposedly. That was gender neutral. Just wasn't marine neutral.
So in terms of the two eliminations, did you like, dislike, neutral?
I mean, the last one was really dumb to watch. That's a typical, it was a play on the, like, you know, wrestling the X out or pushing them out of the circle. Like, we've seen this a lot. It's nice to see a purely physical elimination where it's actually like hand to hand for a change. We haven't seen that yet this season, question mark.
Yeah, that was, I guess I should have teed up. This is one of the two questions I was able to pull from Tom Palmer. Which of the elimination games did you prefer? I know a lot of people clamor for physical eliminations and they hate the carnival games, but I preferred the one with Cam and Kaylee.
Which I don't think that was carnival games. I really did like that challenge. I don't think it's a carnival game, right? It's got a puzzle component that's harder than I think it looks right away. Maybe to me, it looked hard. I think Cam outsmarted it by doing it first on the ground and not going straight to the wall. I think that was huge. And then it's physical because Kaylee's got to climb herself up the wall and put the pegs in. Like, that's, you know, she's got the peg in her mouth while she's pulling her body up. The bell wasn't right in reach. Like, to me, this was not just like a carnival game.
Yeah, I think both eliminations are exactly what the challenge is. Like, I think that's what kind of makes eliminations a roll of dice, because it could be one end of the spectrum. It could be the other. It could be a blend. And that's why when you have either by yourself or with a partner, you need a mix of skills. You don't just want to dominate one type of thing, because you can get one of these types of eliminations. I think these two eliminations are perfect for what the challenge encompasses.
Do you think, now that I'm just thinking about it, do you think Shane should have done more to try to get Brad and Kyle to pick them?
So to just not go up against Bananas and Tony?
Because like Brad and Kyle have a chance to win both eliminations in theory. Shane and Nelson do not have a chance to win a physical elimination against Tony and Bananas.
Right.
Or Brad
but
and Kyle.
They didn't know the eliminations before pick, right?
Or I'm sorry, Shane and Nelson maybe they did do this. I'm sorry. Something's wrong with me today. I mean, something's wrong with me every day. Should we have seen some strategizing from Shane and Nelson to try to get Brad and Kyle to pick Bananas and Tony? That's what I meant.
Right. Or even them, because I think you can even go that way, because then it's like for Shane and Nelson, like, do you want to go up against Bananas and Tony, or do you want to go up against Kyle and Brad? I'd probably rather go up against Kyle and Brad.
Yeah, but they're not winning a physical head-to-head with Kyle and Brad.
I mean, I think you maybe take a little bit more of a chance. I don't know. I guess it's pretty equal, but I mean, I think there could be strategizing either way from Shane and Nelson. I don't know why we didn't see it. I guess maybe because they're like, we're picking Cam and Kaylee. There's no discussion, but I think there's a conversation we had to try to like manipulate it to get it to go your way.
And what bothered me so much about the pick of Kyle, Cam and Kaylee is Kyle does this mumbo jumbo of like everyone wants to see Bananas and Tony and Shane and Nelson battle it out. No, just like have the nads to be like, we're picking them because we think we have the best shot at winning and we want to get back in the house. Like, I hate the fake bullshit of, everyone really wants to see. We'll give the people what they want. Or like when Polly and Natalie's like, we're going to let them do their vendetta. Like Cam said that Cam and Kaylee going against Polly and Natalie. Like, that's not why you're picking them.
Mm-hmm. I did appreciate Kyle taking a shot at himself, being like, oh, I'm good at like picking the double cross, but I stink at eliminations. I did kind of appreciate that self-awareness.
That was good. I wish it carried on into the rationale for why they picked Cam and Kaylee. Did you like the challenge? I know you said it's like quintessential challenge, but would you want to compete in the math homework challenge?
I wouldn't want to compete in literally anything they do, but I enjoyed watching both of them. Yeah, I thought they were both kind of fun. I wish we got more of a sense of like how they were doing on the puzzle. Like, I wish we kind of had like a counter, like as they were putting puzzles in to like see if the math, if they were like on the right track. Cause I would have liked to know if Brad and Kyle were on the right track rather than kind of being like totally in surprise. I think that could have been fun to kind of see how each of them were doing. And then the Bananas and Tony one, like that could have been really good. I think just like, you know, if it was a different opponent, that's sometimes get like the better eliminations in that situation, but it was just, you know, steamrolled.
I think the hard part with the counter is that like Brad and Kyle were so off. Like, to me, it was so clear that Brad and Kyle had that wrong. Like, you cannot do that on the wall. And then it became clear that Kyle had to be responsible for most of the math. And that was just like never going to happen. So to me, there was like no doubt that they were losing. And at least because they didn't have a counter, maybe there was a little bit of like, oh, did they get it? And it was like misdirection because we didn't have the counter. Okay, no, Kyle and like Cam and Kaylee clearly won. I think if they had the counter, there's like no interest unless they're close. But I don't think they were close.
I would guess probably not. I mean, yeah, like you said, the clear way to do it is you have to do it on the ground. You don't want to be doing math when the stress of climbing and all that is taking place. You just do it on the ground first and then just go from there.
Is this a really like embarrassing thing for Brad? Because Brad seemed to know like, okay, I'm going to be the guy with the math, and then somehow decided to take the climbing role. Brad's been around the block. Shouldn't he know that to me, it was clear to viewers and it was clear to Cam that you have the better vantage point and more control over the math from the ground.
I think it's not as embarrassing because of how seemingly right behind like Cam and Kaylee were. Like, if they were both struggling and doing this, I think it's a much worse look for Brad. But from everyone else, like, you don't know, Brad could have been off by like one puzzle. Like, he could have just missed it. Like, it could have been so close. But if this took a while, then it looks really bad on both their parts.
Well, I'm not getting why it looks worse if they're taking a while.
Because if you're just, if like you're doing a puzzle and you just miss by one, like, and then like Cam and Kaylee like beat you like 10 seconds later, it doesn't seem like you're doing as poorly. Like,
yeah, I understand. No,
Brad could have been doing like fine and like he missed like 15 and 14 was all or whatever it was. But if this took like 2 hours, then it's like, oh, wow, you really suck.
Gotcha. Yeah, I guess I'm making it up that they were so far off, but it seems like they had to be. Like, Brad has even tweeted, like, I thought I'd be able to see better on the wall than I was actually able to. But to me, if you're saying I want to be responsible for the puzzle, but you're not the one who gets to see the pieces, you're in the wrong spot.
Yeah. I mean, clearly Brad's totally at fault over, I would put him over Kyle because Brad's the vet and he should know how to take control for sure.
And we get the quote from Cam that teachers everywhere should be putting on, math teachers everywhere should be putting on their boards. Y'all don't even need to check. I double checked my work.
Yep.
Great. Great quote for math and for the challenge.
And for life.
Hey, who's got time to double check in life?
Not one.
Okay, let's talk about the main event. King of the Ring.
Yeah. I mean, were you expecting any? I mean, we've seen some upsets this season. Did you think Nelson and Jane were going to make this interesting?
No chance. And I wrote down even before Shane said it was his nightmare that it was his nightmare. I mean, he like that's worst possible case scenario for Shane. And you could even tell by the setup, like just the way that Tony and Bananas were holding the rod in comparison to Shane and Nelson clearly showed that they had the advantage. And it just goes to show, like, you, and this is where I'll give the credit to Bananas, I promise I'd give. You can talk shit, you can get the numbers together, like, you can strategize with the vote, but you cannot, if you cannot just physically beat them, like, they'll always have that.
Yep. I thought the only chance that Shane and Nelson would have is if they tried to, like, outsmart them, because, like, the rules, like, if you get... You get eliminated if you like your foot touches it. So I thought they tried to like get close to the rope and then like let go a little bit and had Bananas and Tony like overexert themselves and like trip over themselves and like Tony's clumsiness came back into play. I thought that like if you use their strength against them, like that would be the only way you could probably pull this off, but it clearly did not work.
And I think that's hard to do when you have four people. Like Nelson later was like, I wish I could go one on one. In general, I think it's hard to like do a move like that when it counts on two people acting like synchronized.
Oh, totally. And then that relies on Nelson like agreeing to like not try to be the strong one, and that probably wouldn't go well.
And also like you knew they had no chance when people are just shouting stay low, like there's nothing that's gonna happen. That's just like pity.
So, this was a matter of fact.
And to call out a Bananas' hypocrisy, though, like he's all season when he's like a sore little bitter Betty, act like you've been there before. How many like big chants a Banana let out? Like you want to act like you've been there before? They can't celebrate, but you can. Like just that's what I'm saying. Like just like stop being the worst, Bananas, please.
He's a classic heel.
Yeah, just a hypocrite.
So yeah, we actually lose. We lose two teams. The Redemption House is closed. We are down to five.
Woo!
Six? Yeah, no, five. Before the next elimination.
I'm actually excited to talk about this next challenge because I did like it and I enjoyed watching it. And only... It's, I guess, a testament to how much I liked all three challenges besides, like, how Nelson and Shane was watching-wise. It was kind of boring. But... I didn't really even notice that it was mostly challenges because I liked watching them all.
Yeah, I mean, this was the one I got the most entertainment for, the main challenge, Rolling Thunder. I thought it was I think they've done a good job of having unique challenges, eliminations. We haven't seen a lot of like the standard challenges. They mix in a couple just for ease, but they've done a good job.
And if they just added like a puzzle to this, which I guess they did when they said you could go one way or the other way, this is a challenge we talk about when it comes close to final time and we get a challenge that will sort of project how people might do at the final. More of an endurance challenge, not as much height, you know, no heights, just running, lifting, and a little bit of strategy. So yeah. I'm ready for these challenges as we move forward to the final.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously... Sylvie and Joss are obviously the clear winners and probably the biggest surprise, but were you surprised at how well they did?
I was surprised that I didn't know how to spell boulder while I was taking notes for this. I learned a nice lesson there. I don't know. I do think that Joss and Sylvia, if there is a winner's edit in the challenge, which we talked about, there really isn't. Joss and Sylvia were certainly getting it last episode, this episode. Yep. They might just have the right combination of brains and brawn and also being super hungry for it to secure the win. I'd also be happy to see them win this challenge. I think that would be like a fine way for this season to end. What I was more surprised by is how gassed out Tony and Bananas were both at the end of their elimination and at the end of this. Like, I don't know that we've really seen Bananas so gassed in such a noticeable way as we did this episode.
Yeah, it's interesting because you would have thought, you know, for some of the other pairs where like Paulie was like clearly like just doing it on his own, and Natalie was, you know, off in the distance just trying to catch up, you would figure Bananas and Tony kind of like take shifts and do it like sparingly of who was pushing the boulder and stuff like that. So it was surprising that of all the teams, they were seemingly the most guessed out. That was surprising.
And they seem to have a head start because Tony Bananas very intelligently decide to go another way at the ravine and don't get stuck in the trap of just following Polly and Natalie into a line of boulders. But that didn't make any difference. They're coming in, you know, third place behind Joss and Sylvia and Polly and Natalie.
Yeah. Even with Polly and Natalie's 10 second, a huge advantage that they won from the last challenge.
Yeah. What did you think of the advantage?
You know, I feel like they, I mean, 10 seconds, like for a challenge that's took way, this was not like, you know, a 2 minute thing where 10 seconds plays like a key difference. And even as Sylvia noted, like sometimes it's better not to have a head start when it's something like this, because then other people can watch you and see how you're doing it and try to do it better. So if anything, this was like a net neutral. And if, as Sylvia noted, maybe even just like a disadvantage.
Yeah, I mean, the only advantage really is that they were the first ones to the ravine, so that like it did stall some of the other people who didn't think like Bananas and Tony to go the other way. But overall, like a big nothing. Also, I was surprised that they didn't edit out the option to go the second way, because nobody went the second way.
Yeah, that whole thing didn't really even make sense. I wish they kind of gave us like one of those helicopter or like
views
to see exactly what was going on. Cause otherwise we were just, I couldn't even judge for myself which way was the better way to go. All TJ just said, like, you could go the longer way, but like it could be easier. Like, I don't know. Like there was no clear way for the viewer to like really understand like what choices they were making.
No, it might have even been better for Polly and Natalie to go that way. Cause it seemed like if you were, after seeing the ravine, if you were quicker and had more endurance, it's better to take the longer run. Whereas Natalie and Polly said, like, they don't have the wingspan and they don't have the height. So it's a lot harder to lift the boulder out of the ravine. So, but I don't think they could appreciate it. We couldn't appreciate it. And I think they should have edited it out.
Totally.
But yeah, do you think Joss and Sylvia have a chance? Like, if you were to give them a, you know, equity to win the game.
So is that code for, do you want to power rank the remaining teams?
No, I just want to ask about Joss and Sylvia.
Okay. I think they're right up there, top two or three. I think they, you know, 20% chance. I give them maybe 25.
Well, Kara and Marie are out of it, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
So, all right, I guess we could power rank them. Who cares? So Tony, who's even left? Tony and Bananas, Polly and Natalie, Joss and Sylvia, Kara and Marie, because Cam and Kaylee are
and
gone.
Hunter and Ashley.
Oh, and Hunter and Ashley. Okay, so we were down to six when we went into the challenge. Not five. Yeah. So they're out of it. Kara and Marie. Sorry, guys.
So you give them what? Like, do you even give them like a 1%? We'll toss them in 1%.
No, they're out of it. Zero.
Okay, 0%.
I mean, do you think there's a 1% chance that they win this season?
I think if they make the final super basic, maybe Kara can like overpower and catapult them to victory. I would give them a 1 in 100 shot.
All right. So Brian's at 1%. I'm at 0. So that gives me 1% more to play with.
Okay.
I have to write out the names. I got to see the names. I got to feel the energy. Tony Bananas, Joss, Sylvia, Hunter, Ashley, and Polly.
What's interesting is I think it's super, like, I think you can make a clear argument for any of them to win. Like, I would not be surprised if any of those four won, honestly, or any of those four get eliminated next week, or I guess in 2 weeks if Kara and Marie get eliminated. But like, if you're asking of those four, I think it's kind of like someone needs to get a little bit lucky and things need to break their right way for them to win. I think all four can do it.
I don't think Polly and Natalie are winning. Like, I know they don't have a 0% chance. I'm putting them at 0%.
Wow. I mean, I'll take that bet.
Only because I just feel like I can see the future. I'm like, Jemmy, like, I had a dream just now. I'm getting a hit. And Polly and Natalie have the ending where they're like, you know what? We shouldn't have even been in the final. We finished it. We did amazing. We came close to winning. Natalie, I'm so proud of you. I love you forever, girl. Like, we're going to come back. Like, like just winning, just being here and surviving Redemption House 100 times. And like, we didn't win an elimination. Like, I just see that story as like Pauly making it like they won. I could see that edit and they did not win.
We got a future, a fortune teller on the podcast now.
So I think my prediction is a 50-50 between Tony and Bananas and Joss and Sylvia. Or maybe let's say 50% Joss and Sylvia, 35% Bananas, and 15% Hunter and Ashley. And who's impressed that I could pull that was 15 without stopping?
Yeah, you're as good as Cam. No need to double check your work.
I'm sure that was wrong and somebody's going to tweet me.
So I guess if I'm doing, I'll give Cara Marie the 1%er. I'll do Paul and Natalie. I'll give them 10. I'll give Hunter and Ashley 20. I'll give Joss and Sylvia 30. Oh boy. Bananas and Tony 39.
Yep.
All right. There you go.
I'm happy to hear you say Pauly and Natalie 10%. Not because I don't want them to win, but I was worried I took too big a swing with 0%. But if you're only putting them at 10, that's not that bad.
Yeah, well, I think they're fourth, and I think I stand by my 1, 2, 3, 4. I think that's a good ranking.
So to go back, you have Tony and Bananas 1, Joss and Sylvia 2, Hunter and Ashley, then Pauly and Natalie.
Yeah, and honestly, Hunter and Ashley probably deserve a better shot, but. I'll stick with that.
Well, yeah, and I have the same. Well, I guess I have the same ranking, even though I gave them both zero. Even though I gave three teams zero, the order I gave them zero was Cara Marie, Pauly and Natalie, then Hunter and Ashley, and then I put Tony and Banana second. But that's because I hate them. So maybe it's Tony time. I got to change set my clock back to Tony time.
Yeah. There you go. Because Ashley actually has, people forget, Ashley has won a season, so she's got that going for her.
I don't forget. I just think maybe I'm trying to read the challenge edit too much. I just don't think that's a satisfying end to this season. Is the mercenaries who don't get along and haven't really been on the show much win.
Yeah, we definitely have gotten much more of Joss. You know, with the nickel put in him, and he's ready to go. And then we got the cut of Sylvia talking about how she's going to persevere like her mom did. When she had her at 20, so I guess that's a little bit of a winner's edit clip.
Oh, that is the winner's edit clip, but there's no winner's edit.
Right.
I bet you didn't think we could get 50 minutes out of this. We haven't even gotten to Twitter.
Yeah, good job by us.
We could have cut out 35 minutes of me talking.
No, never. I would never do that.
35% of minutes. Okay. I have some Twitter stuff.
Okay.
Well, Jemmy had a dream and I pulled it because I was like, oh, this is funny. And then somebody did tag me in it, too. So I felt like I doubly had to pull it. Jemmy said, I keep having dreams about the homie Leroy. I hope it's a good sign for our boy because I can't figure out the dreams yet. Prayer hands emoji. Crystal ball emoji that really looks more like a jello mold. So I take issue with the crystal ball emoji. But I know what she was trying to do. Does this mean that Leroy is going to win the next season of the challenge?
I certainly hope so. Crazier things have happened. So we need that. That's the last great thing in sports to happen is Leroy win a season.
Will we remember that Leroy was on the season that he won?
If he wins, yes, we will remember. If he makes a final and does nothing, we will definitely not remember.
I can't promise that we will remember that. I normally wouldn't pull something like this. I would pull this. I just don't know what to make of it. So do you remember John from Are You the One? He like was really, really tall and muscly. And then he like hooked up with Catherine. Connor from MTV. I should look up what season it was. Or John Connor's his Twitter, but his name is John Humphrey. Yep. Season 4. Good job.
I know my Are You the One seasons.
Okay, so he tweeted, and I just like noticed this offhand because like somebody liked it, like I don't follow him, and it was something about like everyone needs to stop tweeting about like go vote, no one cares, like something like that. And Jemmy responded, "What should we care about today instead?" Now I've pulled the rest of Jemmy's tweets in this exchange, But I don't have John's because John has deleted the Twitter account. And I went in so hard to see if he just like changed his name. So I searched John Connor. I guess I can search his real last name, John Humphrey. Let me do that right now. And for anyone who's like bitching that I'm searching right now, I did try. Like I went to Mike from Are You the One? And I went to Catherine Palmer and I went to some other people and looked who they follow and searched for John. So I did try to find this person. I'm not saying that he doesn't have a Twitter, but it's not easy to find right now. And all those tweets have been deleted. So she wrote to him, "I don't think you should be calling anybody washed up, honey. I have plenty of other skills on my resume besides 8 years of MTV shows, dot, dot. Speaking of MTV, dot, dot, you might want to remove it from your handle because MTV isn't calling you anytime soon or ever. Let it go, bro." Because his handle was MTV John Connor. And she'd said something else like, "Yeah, you still have MTV in your Twitter handle," chin scratch emoji. So Jemmy got into it with this guy to the point where he then deleted his Twitter and I couldn't find his Instagram. So if anybody's seen
that's quite the evisceration by Jemmy.
If anyone's seen John from formerly from MTV, please let us know.
Let's make sure he's okay.
And then Shane, a little I guess we didn't give a eulogy for Shane Nelson or Cam and Keeley. But Shane said, "Thank you everyone to everyone, fan or not. I played my ass off and I enjoyed every minute of it. I hope that you guys enjoyed it as well."
Yeah. Good job by him.
And then Hollywood Life wrote an article that covered Nelson's appearance on the Challenge Mania podcast. If anyone's interested in hearing from Nelson, you can listen to the Challenge Mania podcast. Natalie retweeted it and said, "Nelly T with the facts. Having a nervous breakdown and being comforted by a friend and Johnny who has no empathy as a human." I'm sorry, I read this wrong. "Nelly T with the facts. Having a nervous breakdown and being confronted." And oh my God, I'm so sorry, everyone. Oh,
we believe in you.
Should I just skip it? It's not even that interesting.
No, persevere.
No, like Sylvia's mother. It.
Yes.
"Nelly T with the facts.
The same thing.
Having a nervous breakdown and being comforted by a friend. And Johnny, who has no empathy as a human, says we were cuddling. I'm not perfect, but I know I can trust at MTV underscore Nelly T as a friend and as a human to be there for me like he was on Vendettas." Now, is trusting someone as a human more than trusting them as a friend?
I feel like that's less. I feel like trusting someone as a friend is the way above trusting someone just as a human.
Yeah, like we trust humans all the time when we like cross the street. I trust you as a human, yeah, not to plow into me, hopefully.
Right.
But like, so why do you have to add that when it's like trust you as a friend?
Because reality people use the human and female, like they're the only people on Earth who use female as much as like as anyone. Like no one else uses the word female as much as reality TV people, and they use human the same way.
And I don't know if you paid attention last night, Brian, but the future is in fact female. So it's like feminist t-shirt and makers human. And I don't know if the future is quite human right now, but hopefully we'll get there. Okay, so I went to the Challenge Mania podcast article written by Hollywood Life and I pulled just the interesting thing ish. So Nelly T said, "I told Natalie that Hunter thought he was hot." I think he meant to say she was hot. "And Natalie thought he was a cutie," Nelson revealed. "Going into the Redemption House, I knew Hunter and Natalie were trying to kick it off. I don't know how far it went, but I knew they were kicking it off when I left for the house." And Natalie,
is the phrase "kick it off"? Is that a phrase? Is it a "kick it" or "hit it off"?
I thought "kick it off" was like I'm about to kick off. If you watch Love Island, that's like I'm about to start a fight.
Yeah, I've never heard "kick it off" as in like, oh, these two are gonna start dating. They're gonna kick it off.
But like you knew what he meant, and I don't think he meant they're gonna start dating. They're gonna kick it off.
They're gonna kick it off.
And then Natalie, they referenced a tweet, Hollywood Life referenced a tweet that Natalie put out in the beginning of the season, so this summer, that they oh quote never made out, and she insisted quote that's a fact. Facts are facts.
That's a fact.
So that's it. Nothing really happening.
Okay, there we go. Oh, yeah, everyone else is filming or doing nothing, so good for them.
This podcast, I was trash, but I did, I think, had a good time on, I was going to say did a good job. That doesn't make any sense. I had a good time on Rob's podcast. So if you watch Survivor at all, or if you like nonsense, you can check it out at robhasawebsite.com. So there's a plug for that before it becomes irrelevant.
You might be listening to the new Survivor Twitter reader.
Yeah. What I loved about that is that Rob like emailed me and was like, do you mind looking at this? I was like, oh, yeah, no problem. And then we got on the phone. He was like, are you sure you're good with that? And I'm like, oh, my God, yeah, no problem. And we get on the podcast. And I'm like, well, usually you don't have to work as a guest. Guest just like, oh, my God, no, I love this. It's so such a great idea. And then just lit him up on the podcast.
That's what you're here for.
Yeah, it's just all in good fun. No, I had a blast. I love being able to go ham on someone's serious podcast.
Yeah.
Bring so a little if bit we're of the what drunk we
aunt, if we're so if we're the drunk aunt, is that just like the businessman family or something? Like what's the opposite of drunk aunt?
No, that's like me. I'm at the family reunion. Like the going on the Survivor podcast is when you have to interact with the rest of the family and they're like, okay. Oh my God, who invited her here?
Right.
But Rob asked me this.
You have to try to sober up a little bit, like keep the sunglasses on to hide the pain, all that stuff.
No, the drunk aunt doesn't care. It's like the rest of the family is like, oh my God, like why is she here? But it's not me. It's like our podcast.
We're the drunk. Yeah, the podcast. Of course, you're not the drunk aunt. No, never.
Also, Brian, Rob rated your Twitter handle, so you should listen to the podcast.
Oh boy. You know what's actually really funny? I did listen to it. I just didn't listen to the last 10 minutes because I landed off my flight and I just hadn't listened to the last 10 minutes, but I guess I have to go back and listen.
Yeah, he still thought you were at the bus driver's route because we were talking about Twitter handle rankings and because like that's what you do when you're on a podcast about Survivor, you talk about Twitter handles. And we talked about Adam's Twitter handle and he was like, oh, that's a good one. And I was like, and you're not going to like Brian's. He's like, oh, right. The bus driver or whatever.
But, well, at least he knows my name. That helps.
Well, he knew your Twitter handle, which apparently is a criteria for Rob to like your Twitter handle. The reason that, spoiler alert, my Twitter handle is not a 10 out of 10 is because he couldn't remember whether or not it had an underscore. I feel like that's his problem. How is that my problem?
I don't know. Yeah, Brian Cohen. I'm sure. I'm sorry. That's not a unique name in the world.
I do wonder. I did say that. I do wonder if bus driver's route, because it's memorable, gets a higher ranking in Rob's mind than Cohen Brian underscore. I didn't ask for the comparison.
We'll have to do a follow up.
Probably never. But live every podcast like it's your last. You know, like the last time Rob will invite me back.
We'll be back for episode 19, which is just unbelievable. Next week, you can subscribe robhaswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. As we mentioned, follow me at @CohenBrian_, and they can follow you
at @RobSestardino certified 9 out of 10 Twitter handle @LashTweets.
Until next time, have a good one.